You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Redemption Online. It's so good to be with you this morning. Happy Sunday. I want to say a special welcome to all of our first-time guests. If you're joining us for the first time today, my name is Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. We're so glad you can be with us today. Today is a special day. It's Life Group Sunday. Yes! And we're also kicking off a brand new series called Anxious for Nothing. I want to talk to those of you who are experiencing some anxiety right about now. I think that's many of us. I want to talk to those of you who are experiencing some stress, like life feels a little bit heavy for you right now. Maybe you're experiencing some stress at work. Maybe you're experiencing some stress in a relationship. Maybe you're experiencing some stress in your finances. I want to encourage you just to take a deep breath, because for the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about experiencing the peace of God in the midst of this anxious, crazy world that we find ourselves living in. What we're going to do is, for the next 4 weeks, we are going to discuss one of my favorite passages that comes from Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to focus on a different portion of this passage of scripture each week, and I really believe it's going to help us experience the peace of God. Just before we read it, let me just set this up for you, okay, because we're going to dig right into it. The Apostle Paul, he's actually writing a letter to the Philippian Christians, and he's under house arrest. That's right, he's a prisoner. He has a Roman guard stationed with him at all times. So if there was anybody who could be tempted to, you know, be mad at God, if there was anybody who could be tempted to just give up, throw in the towel, give up on faith, to say to heck with the whole thing, it was the Apostle Paul. Yet, instead, he pens these famous words. Let's read this out loud together. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Here's what it says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Some translations say, be anxious for nothing. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want to take a moment to pray for us at the beginning of this series. I'm really believing for God to do a work in our hearts and our lives over the next few weeks. Would you just pray with me right now, wherever you are, watching this message, listening to this message? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the promise of scripture today. God, we thank you that you are near. And God, today we choose to trust in you. Lord, for those who are feeling anxious, for those who are feeling heavy and stressed today, Lord, we choose to draw near to you in the spirit of prayer and thanksgiving, to trust in you. And we believe that over the next few weeks and beginning today, we're going to experience the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Father, may it guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen, church. I'm believing that for you. Well, let me just tell you a little bit about my own story. Back in 2014, I experienced a season of anxiety like I had never experienced before. I'm not typically an anxious person. I'm not somebody who has, you know, historically struggled with anxiety. But I experienced, for the better part of 2014, a serious season of anxiety. We had just moved to Westchester to lay the foundations for this church, and it was a big move. We had left behind our family and friends back in my wife's hometown of Buffalo. We had taken the greatest leap of faith we've ever taken, a big financial leap. And as we began to take on this new season, I experienced stress and anxiety. I would wake up in the morning with a sick feeling in my stomach. I mean, my stomach hurt so bad, I didn't even want to get out of bed in the morning. I would rather be asleep than to feel that kind of pain. My chest, some days, felt like it had a weight on it. There were days when it just really felt hard to even breathe. And I know some of you, you can relate to that. Some of you, maybe you're experiencing some of those symptoms even right now. And I want to tell you today, I've been there before. I've been there before, and God got me through it. So today, I'm not the pastor coming down from the mountaintop. I'm not the superhero pastor. Is it okay, church, if today I'm just a human being? I'm just a real person, just like you. who's been through this. And I want to just testify to the goodness of God, that God got me through it. But I want you to know I've been there before, and I understand. And I want to go on a journey with you over the next few weeks to experience the peace of God together. So the Apostle Paul tells us, be anxious for nothing. And I know what some of you are thinking, like, is that even possible, right? Pastor, like, is that even possible? Are you paying attention to the crazy world that we're living in right now? Like, is it possible to be anxious for nothing when we're living through a global pandemic? You know, when racial tensions in our country are at an all-time high, people are protesting in the streets, like our kids are going back to school, and we don't even know if there's gonna be another outbreak of this pandemic, and some of you are trying to figure out how to homeschool your kids, and some of you, if you're like me, like we're hybrid, and I've talked to teachers who didn't even know what they were teaching like 2 weeks ago, like the world is crazy. Is it possible to experience the peace of God? It's a really good question. According to the U.S. Census Bureau and the National Center for Health Statistics, 1/3 of all U.S. adults have experienced symptoms of depression and anxiety, especially over the past few months with the onset of the pandemic. In fact, the numbers represent triple the amount of those reporting those symptoms before COVID happened, if you compare the data going back to early 2019. And so a lot of us obviously can relate to this sense of anxiety. How are we supposed to be anxious for nothing? Now, in today's message, I want us to look at the life of a famous prophet, the prophet Elijah. He was one of the greatest prophets in all of the Old Testament. There are a lot of famous miracle stories that are associated with the ministry of Elijah. Here's a man who loved God. Here's a man who had experienced the faithfulness of God. I mean, this is somebody who walked in the miraculous. This is someone who had experienced the power of God. And yet, Elijah still struggled with anxiety. I think many of you are going to find that you can relate to him. Now, let me just set a story up for you, okay? A little refresher if it's been a while since you've read about the story of Elijah. Elijah lived during the reign of a very wicked king, the very definition of an unfaithful, wicked king of Israel, a king named Ahab. And Ahab's greatest sin is that he had led the people of Israel into idol worship. During his time, many of the people began to leave the worship of the one true God and began to worship this false god named Baal. In fact, in one of the most famous stories, Elijah has a showdown with the prophets, and some of the prophets are the prophets of Baal. He goes to battle with them, and Elijah takes down 850 false prophets. I mean, Elijah was one powerful dude. You don't want to mess with him. But here's the interesting thing. As bad as King Ahab was, his wife was even worse. He had a wife that made him look like Mother Teresa. Yeah, he had a wife named Jezebel. Some of you know that name. Jezebel was one wicked woman. And Jezebel kind of gets to this place where she hears about, you know, Elijah killing all these prophets. And she basically says to her husband, if you can't get the job done, if you can't take care of this prophet Elijah, I'm going to have him killed. And so here's Elijah, this great man of faith, right? He gets word of this threat from Queen Jezebel, who wants to kill him, who puts a hit out on him. And, you know, what does he do as a great man of faith, as a miracle worker, as a prophet of God? He freaks out. Yeah, he spirals into depression and anxiety. And we're going to read about his response here. And as we read his response, we're going to see four different mistakes that Elijah makes. In fact, he makes four mistakes that many of us often make when we've had just too much in life, because that's what we're going to talk about today, when we're in a season of life where we've had just too much. And I think you might even be able to relate. So see if you can spot some of the mistakes that Elijah makes as he hears this news that Queen Jezebel is out to get him. Look at this in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 3 through 4. It says this, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He leaves his servant. He goes into the wilderness all by himself. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. Here's what he prayed. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. And so Elijah, he had just had enough. Come on. How many of you have ever been to a point in your life where you've just had enough. How many of you feel that way right about now? I've had enough. Come on, type it in the comments. I've had enough. I think we've all been there before. Some of you, like maybe it's work. Like I've just had enough with work. It's been stressful. It's been crazy. Maybe it's bills. Like if I get one more unexpected bill, like if one more thing breaks, right? Like I've had enough. Like one more thing, it came into my life and it just put me over the edge. Like maybe for you, it's that coworker, you know, that you're paired up with at work who never says thank you. And like you let it go the first, 100 times. But when it got to 101, you're like, that's it. I've had enough. Like, can't you just show some gratitude? Like it just put you over the edge, right? It was the straw that broke the camel's back. You just had enough. This happened to me recently. I have to confess, right? Today, I get to be a human being just like you. I have to confess. The other day, you know what put me over the edge? A headlight went out on my car and I'd had enough. So here we've been in the past few weeks, this crazy season of leading our church. And, you know, for the past few weeks and months, we were just trying to find a place for our church to even meet. And I kind of had these moments where I was praying like, Lord, you know, before COVID hit, I was leading a church of 300 to 400. It was growing. We had a great home at the AMC. Now I don't even know how many people even come to my church. We're homeless. We don't even have a place to meet. And then, you know, our kids started back to school and they're hybrid, which means there's no rhythm at all. Like one day you send them off to school and it's great. The next day they're home. We got three kids in three different schools and that whole crazy thing. And then it's been a summer of things breaking. Our oven broke. We were without an oven for like a month and a half, and we had to buy all new appliances. And then on top of all this, I'm driving my car home the other night, and the headlight goes out, and that was it. It was like the straw that broke the camel's back. And I'm like, I call home, I'm like, Amy, I'm done with this. Like, I wanted to take my car and just drive it into the Hudson River and like make an insurance claim. I'm like, I'm done. Have you been there? Like, I think we can relate, right? Like, I've just had enough. Elijah, he had had enough. He had had enough. And he makes some common mistakes that we all make when we've had enough, and we're gonna look at them. Here's the first mistake he made, and it's a mistake that we make. Number one, we run ourselves into the ground. We often run ourselves into the ground. The scripture says that Elijah was afraid, so he runs for his life. The text says he ran to a city named Beersheba. This was about 100 miles away from where he was. Basically, he ran from like one end of Israel to the other, from the north all the way down to the south. He basically ran as far as he could run, and he just wore himself out. Now, I told you about the season of anxiety that I had experienced in 2014. What I didn't tell you is how I had worn myself out leading up to that, what I had done the years before that. In the years preceding 2014, I started off as the youth pastor at a pretty large church, and then I became the senior associate pastor, so I was wearing two hats for many years. And then in the middle of it, I started a seminary degree, and then we started having more children, and I ran hard like that for years. And when it all came to an end, when I finished my seminary degree and we were transitioning from being on staff at that church, I said to Amy, why don't we just move across the state and start a church plant in one of the most expensive regions of the whole country. I didn't catch my breath. I just ran right into the next thing, and I didn't even realize how burnt out I was. Some of you, you've been running too hard, too fast for way too long, and you're burnt out. And oftentimes when we're experiencing anxiety, we don't even realize how hard we've been running. And so we run ourselves into the ground. Here's the second thing. We shut people out. We're talking about mistakes that we make, that we often make in a season of anxiety. We shut people out. This is what Elijah did. Scripture tells us that Elijah left his servant, his most trusted companion. He left him behind and he went off on his own into the wilderness all by himself. And this is what many of us are often tempted to do. Many of us have this sense like, I can do this. You know, many of us kind of have this tough guy thing. I'm going to have a stiff upper lip. I can get through this by myself. I don't need anybody. I've got this all by myself. Many of you, the way you're wired naturally when you're going through a difficult time, instead of running to others, you tend to pull away. When you need to be tapping into those lifelines, you naturally retreat and tend to go off by yourself, and you close yourself off and you begin to internalize things. You shut people out, and it only adds to your stress. And I want to just tell you, you weren't meant to do it by yourself. Come on, if we were meant to do it by ourselves as Christians, God would have never come up with this idea of the church, but it was his plan for us to be in a family together. And so I want to encourage you to get signed up for a life group, because this is exactly why we have life groups. We're kicking off a brand new cycle of life groups today. If you're new to our church, life groups are kind of the heart of our church. Life groups are groups of people who get together during the week, mostly online these days, some in person, but we connect during the week outside of Sundays, and we do life together. We grow together spiritually. Let me just tell you what's gonna happen if you've never been in a life group before. You're gonna get into a life group and you're gonna get some friends. You're gonna get some other people who are trying to grow in their relationship with God in your corner. And here's what you're gonna discover. You're gonna find out that most of the people in your life group are just real average human beings like you who have been through some stuff and have stories. Maybe they've even gone through some similar things that you've gone through, and they can pray for you, and they can encourage you, and they can cheerlead you. And you're gonna find that you're not going through life alone. You're not doing this isolated. You're gonna have some other friends in your corner to help you, to encourage you, to cheer you on. So the best thing you could do today when this message wraps up is go to our website, go to Next Steps, find life groups there, or open up the app, and there's the life groups page on our app, and you can browse the different life groups that are kicking off this fall. We're gonna be studying for the next 4 weeks this series, Anxious for Nothing, especially if you're struggling with anxiety right now. I want to encourage you, the best way that you can get the most out of this series is get into a life group. Give it 4 weeks. Don't sign your life away. Give it 4 weeks and see the difference it makes in your life. Don't do it by yourself. Here's the other mistake we make. It's a mistake that Elijah made. It's mistake number three, we focus on the negative. We often focus on the negative, and it just feeds right back into our anxiety. The scripture tells us in verse 4 that Elijah says, I've had enough. I'm no better than my ancestors. Like, I might as well just give up and quit because, you know, obviously I'm done. I've had enough. Isn't that what we do oftentimes? Like, in a difficult season, we begin getting caught up with being focused on the negative. Like, life is always going to be this way. I'm never going to have enough money. You know, my relationship's always going to be this way. My marriage is always going to be this way. Like, this is what happens. The other day when that headlight went out and it was like enough for me, like, I went on a rant. I came home and I'm like, Amy, I'm so tired of this. Like, one more problem. Now I got to go to the auto parts store and the kids have scratched up the car. And, you know, I just began listing all of these problems. And Amy just sat there. She just listened. And, you know, she knew I was going to repent eventually, but that's what we do, right? When we go through a difficult time, we just end up getting focused on the negative, how easily we can get caught up with being focused on the negative. I don't know about you, but focusing on the negative never made me a better person. Complaining and being miserable, it never made me a better person. Here's the fourth thing, the fourth mistake we make that Elijah made, we forget God. Come on, if we're honest, we often forget God. For Elijah, God had been present every step of the way. God had been faithful every step of the way. In fact, earlier in Elijah's story, we read about how God sent ravens to feed Elijah. Ravens, like, literally brought him bread and meat from heaven. Like, God had performed the miraculous in and through Elijah. God had protected him every step of the way, and yet he forgets. Elijah does what many of us do. He faces his problems and forgets his God. Don't we do that at times? Like, we get so overwhelmed by the problems that we forget the faithfulness of God. How easily we have selective amnesia. We forget the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, all the times that God has showed up in our lives and made a way. And so this is a mistake that we're tempted to make, and one that Elijah made. Now, Elijah's very own name should have been enough to remind him to trust God. What did his name mean? The name Elijah, Elijah, literally translates from Hebrew, my God is Yahweh. Now, Yahweh is the name of God in the Old Testament. This is like the holy and sacred name of God. In fact, it was so sacred that the Jews didn't even read the name of God out loud. They substituted other names there because they believed God's name was so sacred. Scholars tell us that the name Yahweh, it actually imitates the sound of breathing. The four letters that make up this name Yahweh, because they had to supply the vowels in Hebrew, it's the four Hebrew words, Yod, Hey, Vah, Hey. yod, hey, vahe. It's like the rhythm of breathing. In other words, the very name of God, it's like the breath in our lungs. Think about the creation story when God formed Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life. This name is so beautiful and sacred and symbolic that when you say the name of God in Hebrew, it's almost like you're breathing the name of God, yod, hey, vahe, and you're reminded that he is the source of my life. It's this statement, my God is my breath. My God is like the breath in my lungs. My God is my provider. My God is my sustainer. Elijah's name was my God is Yahweh. And here's Elijah with this very powerful name, this symbolic prophetic name, and yet he forgets the meaning of his own name. Yet in the midst of his circumstances, he falls apart. And what does God do? What does God do when Elijah tells God, I just want to give up? Does God come to him and say, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're a prophet. Don't you remember all the miracles I've worked through you? No, God doesn't shame him. What does God do? God meets Elijah at the point of his need. Let's fast forward to verses 11 through 12. 1 Kings chapter 19, 11 through 12. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12, after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. So God says, Elijah, I'm about to reveal myself to you. And first there's a wind, but the scripture says the Lord was not in this mighty wind. Then there was an earthquake. The ground literally began to shake and the rocks began to split apart, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Then there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Where was the Lord? The Lord was in the whisper. The Lord was in the breath. Come on. God was not in the remarkable. God was not in these overwhelming phenomenon. He was in the ordinary. He was in the still, small voice. He was in the whisper. Now, what does this have to do with anything? Well, let me ask you this question. Do you ever wonder when you're in a season where things are overwhelming, when you're in a season where you're experiencing pain or you're overwhelmed by stress and anxiety, like, do you ever want to, like, God, why don't you speak more clearly to me? Like, God, why don't you speak in the loud place? Like, there's all of this stress and all these loud voices in my life and all of this noise. Like, God, why don't you just show up in this really miraculous way and speak to me? Like, why does God so often whisper? Because if you've walked with God long enough, you probably know that the voice of God is often that still small voice. It's the voice that we hear in scripture. It's the voice that we hear in a sermon. It's the voice that we hear in a worship song that speaks to our hearts. It's the voice that we hear in a believer who knows God, who prays over our lives. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever noticed that in order to hear someone whisper, you have to be close to them? You have to be close enough to hear what it is that they're saying. God whispers to us because he's close to his church. Come on, it's not because he's distant. It's not because he's elusive. It's because he's a God who's actually close to us. The scripture says that God is close to the brokenhearted. He's the God who wants to be close to you. He's the God who speaks to us and says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's the God who whispers his promises into our lives. And I want to just tell you, God is wanting to speak to you, church. God is wanting to reveal himself to you. He's wanting to whisper into our lives. But here's the truth. Often we're too busy. We've got too much noise. We're surrounded by all of these other voices and we can't even hear his voice. And we've got to learn to tune out all the noise and tune into his voice. I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 46, verse 10. He said, be still and know that I am God. Come on, you want to hear God's voice, you got to learn to be still. To be still, to give up control, to give up striving, to give up trying to be the master of your universe, to be still and know that he is God. And I want to tell you just a quick example of how I've experienced this because, you know, I told you the backdrop of 2014 and how it was a year of anxiety for me and starting this church. Well, fast forward to just a few weeks ago, here we are in this crazy COVID world that we're living in, and it's not an easy season to pastor in, to be honest with you, steering our church through this crazy time of being homeless. And, you know, the past month, I kind of felt like a real estate agent. I was calling all kind of places, trying to find a place for our church to meet. And for a few weeks, I was getting nothing but doors slammed in my face. Nothing but no's, nothing but people not getting back to me, just waiting. And you know, there was this sense of like, God, I don't really know what's going on here. You know, here we are just trying to figure out how we can even get back together. Let me just tell you, the old Jeremy, I would have been tempted to just freak out. I would have lost my peace. I would have been tossing and turning. But you know what we did in the middle of all this? Because God has taught us a few things over the years. We actually went to the beach. How spiritual is that? Yeah, we took a Sunday. We listened to church online and we drove out. My mother-in-law came into town and we went to the beach and we rested. In the middle of all of it, we just chose to be still. God, we're going to get away from everything, and we're going to sit out here on this beach on Long Island, and we're going to rest and relax and trust that you are God, and you're in control. And can I tell you that that very week when I was away is when I got the phone call from one of our board members saying, hey, Pastor Jeremy, we've got a place to meet. Come on. The breakthrough came when I chose to be still and know that he is God. And so I want that for you, church. I want you to learn to experience the peace of God in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the stress. Now, let me tell you the rest of Elijah's story. Because if you don't know his story, it's really quite amazing. In 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah and his protege, Elisha. There's Elijah and Elisha. I know it's confusing, but Elijah has this protege named Elijah, and they're walking along, and Elijah tells Elijah, like, God is about to take me. And what happens next is crazy. You can read about this in 2 Kings chapter 2. Out of nowhere, out of the heavens, appears a chariot of fiery horses. A chariot of fire and horses sweeps down from heaven, takes Elijah away in a whirlwind. He leaves earth and goes to heaven. Like, Elijah doesn't experience death. He's one of the few people in all of the Bible who's actually literally taken straight to heaven by God. It's crazy. I know. It's amazing. So Elijah doesn't experience death. Now, if you've been paying attention, if you've been taking notes during this sermon, I'm going to quiz you. What was the very thing that Elijah was afraid of? What was Elijah's greatest fear? Yeah, he was afraid of death. He was afraid that Jezebel was going to kill him. He was running for dear life. He was exhausted, he was tired, and he was afraid that he was going to die. Guess what? It never happened. The thing that Elijah feared the most didn't even happen. Come on, church, we might even say that he was anxious for nothing. He was anxious for nothing. The very thing that he feared never came to pass. And I came to church this morning to tell you, church, that the vast majority of what we worry about doesn't even happen. So many times we fill in the blanks with our fear. We begin to imagine these worst case scenarios, and it doesn't even happen. We often find ourselves anxious for nothing. Now, sometimes it doesn't even happen. Sometimes it does happen, and it turns out to be not so bad. Come on, you ever went through that? I remember when I was a kid, I used to be deathly afraid of getting my shots, my annual immunizations when I was a child. And I remember every time after I got the shot, that wasn't so bad. And the truth is, many of the things that we worry about as adults turn out to be not so bad. Sometimes it is really bad. Something comes into your life that you didn't even expect, and it's worse than you imagine, but you discover that God is with you. God is with you. Come on. Oftentimes, the most tragic things that come into our lives are things we didn't even expect, and yet we worried about other stuff that didn't even come to pass. But here's what you have to know. Whatever happens, God is with you. Come on. He's the God who's near to us. He's the God who's as close to us, church, as a whisper, as a breath. And this is why the Apostle Paul could say in Philippians chapter 4, even though he was under house arrest in the worst possible circumstances, not knowing what the future held for him, whether he was going to live or die, in the midst of that situation, he could say, be anxious for nothing. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. How can you rejoice in the midst of your uncertainty? How can you rejoice in the midst of your anxiety? Because the Lord is near. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He's the God who whispers to us. We can be still and know that He is God. When it's too much for us, it's okay. We can give it to the God who's able to handle it, and we can be anxious for nothing. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. You know what that means? Peace when it doesn't even make sense to have peace. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Where is God? He's the God of the whisper. Why does He whisper? Because He's the God who's close to us. He's the God who wants us to draw near to Him so that we can hear His voice and learn to trust in Him. As I look back at my story back in 2014, so many of the things that I was worried about never came to pass. In fact, God surprised me with His goodness. So many good things that I couldn't even anticipate began to come to pass in my life. I was looking back through my pictures. That's the wonderful thing about these phones we have these days, right? I was looking through my iPhone the other day of pictures from that season. I was remembering 2014, that season of anxiety. And all throughout that year, I was looking at pictures of birthday celebrations with my kids and trips to the zoo and new friends that God was bringing into my life. And I looked back and I said, God, when I was going through it, I couldn't see it. But now as I look back, I see Your gentle whisper. I see how You were near. Little moments of goodness that were following me all throughout my life. Couldn't see it then, but as I look back now, I can see the faithfulness of God. Church, I want you to know God sees you. God's with you. And He's as close as a gentle whisper. Come on, I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for those of you who are experiencing stress, for those of you who are experiencing anxiety, for those of you who right now the load feels heavy. Maybe you're even having some shortness of breath. Come on, let's pray together. I'm really believing for God to do a work that begins in our lives today. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You right now. God, we thank You for Your word. God, we thank You that You are with us. We thank You that You're the God who's near, that You're the God who wants to whisper Your peace into our lives. You're the God who wants us to draw near to You, and You speak Your peace over our lives as we learn to draw near to You, as we learn to trust You, as we learn to, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, to make our requests known to You, God. We thank You that we can experience Your peace, which passes all understanding, and that it can guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray that You do that for us today. Do that for every person under the sound of my voice. Father, I pray for the person who feels far away from You, that Father, as they cry out to You, You would draw near to them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.